Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. Joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders, we have David Jennings and Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power joining us as well. On this postcast, we're going to look ahead to the action at York and also Goodwood, the ITV races broadcast, of course. We'll get some other selections from the lads and then we'll get those all-important Saturday naps as well. Right, DJ, how's your York gone so far? You in good form?
Good, yeah. Yeah, good form. So far, so good. Thoroughly enjoyable week. I've never been, and it's on my bucket list.
Oh, okay. Never been to York. You been to York?
Certainly haven't. No, I've never normally ventured that far north in England, to be honest.
Does it from London? It's an old trek, isn't it? It's a fair old way.
I wouldn't envy the journey, certainly.
Yeah. And Niall, have you tipped many winners this week? You were on fine form when you were last on the pod, I think.
Yeah, not particularly. I've always struggled with York myself. It has been great so far, but yeah, hoping for a change today or tomorrow, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same. I really struggle with York. But anyway, let's hope we can find you some winners throughout the duration of this postcast. We'll start off at York in the 150. The Sky Bet and Symphony Group Strenstall Stakes, a Group 3 over 1 mile and 1 furlong. Niall Wissahickam, we haven't seen him in a while, but he heads the betting.
Yeah, he's our 15-8 favourite. Dacky is 9-4. Bangkok is 9-2. Escobar is 7-1. Space Traveller 8-1. And Forest Ranger is 10-1.
Yeah, like a lot of the races I think we're going to look at for tomorrow, there's not an awful lot between some of these. DJ, who did you eventually side with?
I fancy Zaki. And I think he should be favourite, to be honest, because I'd forget his run over 7 last time, because he'd never won over 7, even earlier on in his career. And it was a bit of a mess of a race at Goodwood. Like, he was trapped out wide, turned into a little bit of a sprint. And like, his form prior to that is absolutely rock solid. You know, beating Barney Roy, then he beat Otis Is Us at Epsom. And then even being beaten in nose by Beat the Bank in that summer mile. Like, that's really good form. He had Accidental Agent was fourth that day. And I think if he didn't run at Goodwood, and I think you can put a complete line through that, if he didn't run at Goodwood, I think he'd be favoured here. And I think he's rock solid. I just think he's a better horse right now than Wissahickam. And I think the race would be run to suit as well.
Okay. Sir Michael Stout, of course, won the race with Moustachery in 2017, went on to win the Lock in Zaki. Not always seemed the most straightforward to me, Robbie. I quite fancied him last time, but he didn't perform at all.
Yeah, I thought the trip was a bit short from last time, 7 furlongs. I think back up to 1 mile 1, that'll be much more in his favour. I like his credentials. I think Wissahickam might need it, his first start since April. But I thought Escobar looked quite interesting. He's obviously got quite a bit to find on form, but he's certainly going the right way. He gets £3 from the top two. A couple of starts ago, he's really impressive at York, winning that handicap over Rise Hall. He looked like a group performer there. He's progressing fast, and I think he could get into the frame, certainly.
Yeah, David O'Mara, he's trained winners of 3 of the last 5 of this as well, so he clearly knows what it takes to win the race. Niall, what do you think? I was quite interested in Bangkok, a 3-year-old, and showed some good form in the early part of the season. Soft ground wouldn't have been to his liking last time.
Yeah, I'm the same as you, Maddie. I'm not very strong in anything here, but I couldn't back Wissahickam at that price off his last run off the break as well. Same goes for Zaki. I was very disappointed in him last time. Yeah, I'm just going to chance Bangkok. He's got plenty of ability. He didn't really show it last time, but I'm willing to just blame the ground, as you said. Before that, he obviously chased Home Japan, which obviously looks strong form now. I think that run's even better because I don't really think he properly stays 1.5 miles. So I actually think this 1 mile, 1 furlong trip here could suit him ideally. He can be quite keen in his races. He's travels very strongly. I definitely think he's worth chancing in a weak-looking race to me.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. And getting that weight, as we said, being the 3-year-old. We'll move on to the 225 now, which is the Skybet Melrose Handicap over 1.6 miles. Always a competitive race. This has thrown up some really good horses. Only one outright favourite has won in the last 10 runnings. First in line, he's bound to be popular, Niall.
Yeah, we're paying 4 place in this race, and first in line is our 7-2 favourite. Land of Oz is 11-2, Eminence 13-2, Skymac 13-2, Kiefer 7-1, Almania 10-1, Universal Order 10-1, and 12-1 bar.
Okay, DJ, when I was looking at this race, I thought maybe, barring the favourite, it was a less sexy renewal than sometimes is the case.
Yeah, like, there's nothing in here that you could see winning a Group 1 or Group 2, I don't think, in time. I have it narrowed down to 2, I think. that my second choice would probably be Hamish for William Haggis and James Doyle. I was just wanted a little more rain for Hamish because there was two horses I really fancied on the card earlier on the week. One was Hamish in this race, and the other, which I'm absolutely still devastated. I'm unconsolable about Royal Line not running the Ebor, because to me, he was the one horse I was waiting on all summer. But the rain didn't arrive. He's not been declared. And the other one that I wanted rain for was Hamish. I just worry if the ground is going to be a little bit too quick. I think he's crying out for the step up to mile six. I thought they might go a mile and a half, but they've gone up to a mile six. I think off American 92, he certainly could have more to offer. But I wonder, it might just be until there's a bit more cut in the ground that we'll see the best of him. And for that reason, my first choice is Almania for Sir Michael Stout and Sylvester D'Souza. Now, this is, I won't call him horrible horse. He's not straightforward, and he looks very complicated in his races. For anybody that gets a chance to look at his race at Goodwood last time, I didn't think at any stage he was helping Andrea Zeni at all. I thought the race was there for the taking at one stage, and he just didn't have the natural pace to bring himself into a challenging position. When I watched it again, I kind of called him a few names after the race, and then I said, hold on a second, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think the benefit of the doubt is that he just needs a trip. I think he's crying out for this sort of trip. Big, long stride. I think the home straight in York will really suit him. He'll get plenty of room, which I think he needs. And for that reason, I think he's got more scope for improvement off his mark on this ground up in trip than Hamish has. But I think I'll be splitting my stakes on Hamish and Almania.
Okay, so two against the field from DJ. Niall, I know you're in agreement with DJ on one of those.
Yeah, I'm very keen on Hamish. The ground, yeah, maybe I didn't factor it in too much. I didn't think it was a massive worry myself. He's only had three runs to date. He chased home Muhanamik trained by Even Furtado on debut over a mile, which actually looks a very big run considering what that one did next time. He then hacked up at Windsor, winning by 7 lengths. The second from that is Mountain One handicap off 72. He then finished joint third in what I think was a really strong Newbury novice race. Like the winner away he goes, went in his next start on his debut, who he actually finished second to Logician, which is obviously strong form. The third from that Newbury race, Passion and Glory, ran well next time and then won a Windsor novice race very easily on Monday. So yeah, it all makes Hamish look well handicapped off 92 to me. And it's a step up in trip, which could be the key to him. A mile two is probably, he's out of Tweed by Motivator. It's just all stamina. First in line to me looks a bit of a default favourite due to connections. Wasn't overly impressed with him last time in what looked an average time as well. So yeah, quite strong in Hamish here. I think he's worth a good bet at the price.
Okay, trainer in great form as well, so that's sure to help you out on Hamish. Robbie, any thoughts on the Melrose?
Yeah, I wanted to take on first in line. I thought he looked a bit short. He obviously is very unexposed. He could be anything at this stage, but I came down on Kiefer, backed him at 9-1 last night. Eve Johnson-Horton, he really needed a step up in trip. He keeps rattling home over a mile and a half. He's finishing his races really well. His last two starts, he's put an RPR 6 pound ahead of his mark of 88. And I know he's going to improve for the extra 2 furlongs. I thought he was a bit big.
Yeah, I like his profile and I like his pedigree. I've had an eye on him since he won at Newbury at the start of the season. I like Kiefer. I think you're right. He's probably crying out for this trip. His pedigree would probably say that's true as well. We'll move on to the next race now, the 3 o'clock, which is the Skybet City of York Stakes to the Group 2 over 7 furlongs. And this will be interesting because Lauren's is making her return. She won her debut over 7 furlongs to that trip. Winner of the Group 1 last time. Excellent filly. Do you think this is easy pickings for her, DJ?
No. Well, I think she's a chance. And you got to love her. She's one of these horses that, if you have a bet in the race and she wins it, you're kind of not that disappointed. It kind of is a bit of a consolation prize if she wins it. But I just, over this trip, she's not a bundle of speed. So she'll have to grind it out and I think she'll go quick. To be honest, I thought all week, and I still think now, the most overpriced horse in the race is Le Bravido even, who I think things just haven't gone right for Le Bravido so far since he's joined Aidan O'Brien. And I think for the simple reason being that this is his trip. I think he's just a 7 furlong specialist. And there is a few horses like that. I suppose you could call maybe Space Blues something similar. But I'd forget the run at Deauville last time. Was trapped out on the wrong side and it just everything kind of happened a bit quickly. If he goes back to that Diamond Jubilee performance, the 5th to Blue Point, that's cracking form. And even when you look at the lockinge, he was very unlucky in the lockinge. 7 furlongs, York, had a little bit of a break. I just think back at seven, I think Lebrovito is rock solid. I think he's the best horse in the race over seven, and I think he can prove it here.
Okay, that's interesting, because you mentioned that Royal Ascot form. Do you not like speaking colours then? I mean, he ran a huge race and he was unlucky last time as well.
Ground for me, I think he needs softer ground. I think if this was soft ground, he'd have a cracking chance. But now he has coped with quicker ground, but I just think he's a different animal on soft ground. So it would be a ground thing with speaking colours for me. But I can see where you're coming from. But to me, like, if there's sevens and eights about Lebrovito, I think he could go off like fours.
Okay, very, very interesting then. Yeah, I didn't see that before, speaking colours. Maybe he does need soft ground. Niall, who do you like in this one?
This is just our money back special race, so it's money back if Lawrence wins. I think she's actually worth taking on here myself, over seven furlongs. Like, I think her ideal is probably slightly further than a mile. So seven furlongs, just, it should be a little bit sharper. I'm just going to take a chance on Shine So Bright. Now, I know he's been off a while, but it's just not a race that I was really keen on anything again. He put up a massive time in reappearance when he won the free handicap at Newmarket, and then he followed that up with a cracking run of the guineas. He obviously went so fast that he caused what was now looks like a massive pace bias in the race. So he's back over seven furlongs here, and he ran really well in the gym crack at the meeting last year. So he obviously handles the track. It's a Shine So Bright for me.
I think we're reading from the exact same hymn sheet today. I thought Shine So Bright was really interesting as well. That free handicap form has worked out better than you thought it might as well at the time, with Space Traveller obviously winning at Royal Ascot. Big absence to overcome, but I think these horses who run over shorter distances, maybe they're a bit easier to get fit. Who knows? But I'll definitely be keeping an eye on him for the future and how he runs here in this City of York Stakes. Robbie?
Yeah, strange move for Lawrence, I think, down to seven furlongs. And she's got a £5 penalty as well. She's going to have to give weight to horses like Lebrovito and speaking colours. I don't think that's an easy task at all. I'm in agreement with DJ. I think Lebrovito's quite a big price at the moment. I saw he opened up at 9-1 and 1 firm last night. I thought that was quite ridiculous. I think there's scope for him to go off second favourite here, certainly. He's been running in Group 1s his last four starts. He's caught the eye a couple of times in the lock-in due to really eye-catching. And as DJ said in the Diamond Jubilee, I think seven furlongs is absolutely his trip. It's interesting he's even showing up. It's quite strange that Aiden's running him here, I think. He's not quite in the same form as he was a couple of seasons ago, but I think there's no man better than Aiden to get him back. And yeah, I think he's a massive price at the moment.
Okay, quite ridiculous price. I like that. Confidence then. Let's move on to the feature then at 3:40. It's the Skybet Ebor Handicap over a mile six. Last outright favourite to win was Purple Moon in 2007. It's a different race these days. Mine's now more of a really condensed handicap, more like a group race, DJ. How are you approaching it now? It seems to have sort of shifted in the way it's made up.
Yeah, I have a theory on this race, and it was a similar theory last year with Muntaha. My theory is I've had to go studying it again because Royal Line wasn't declared yesterday morning, and I'm still a bit bitter out of it. I'm going to mention it a couple more times in the show, don't worry. But the one I've come down on, for because I think he's got a identical profile to Muntaha, is Barsanti for Roger Varian and Andrea Azzeni. 25-1 at the minute. I think that's a huge price for a couple of different reasons. I think with a horse like Barsanti, He started the season rate 111. Muntaha started last season rate 112. There's only a certain amount of races that horse can run in. So he's a virgin on Group 2, Group 3 type of horse, middle distances, can't really win any big ones, not good enough for Group 1s, too good for handicaps. So he's stuck in this middle ground where there has to be some sort of aim for the season. I think with Muntaha last season, Gosden said to himself, right, we can't win a Group 1. We're too high in the handicap. Let's try and get him down a couple of pounds in the handicap and win a big handicap. And that's what he did with Muntaha. And I think it's a similar story here with Roger Varian. Like, if you go back to Barsanti's form, like second in the Hardwick to Idaho, you know, he ran in the Hardwick behind Crystal Ocean last year as well. And just running consistently well in Group 2s and rated in the mid, kind of in between 110 and 120. So he started this season off 111. Looked like big and looked badly and needed to run his first start back in the Lister race at Ascot. Ran a little bit better behind Mirage Dancer at Goodwood, finished third of four. And then, you know, at Newmarket, I think it was just a case of getting another run into Barsanti before the Ebor. The key thing with Barsanti is he's blinkers on for the first time. And if ever a horse needed blinkers, it looks like Barsanti. I just think he's a touch of class in a handicap, and to me, he's down to a mark of 107. He's been dropped £2 for that race at Newmarket last time. Like, this time last year, he was rated 116, so he's £9 lower. I'd be shocked if this wasn't the plan for the whole season. And 25-1 to me, given how identical his profile is to Montoya, I think that's a huge price.
Okay, well done for picking out such an outsider, because it is tough in a field like this when there's so little separating them, isn't it? Barsanti then at 25-1, Niall, can you just run us through the whole market?
Yeah, we're paying 7th place in this race. And yeah, Barsanti's 25-1 with Hole as our 6-1 favourite. King's Advice 6-1. Raheem House 15-2. Ben Brackey 8-1. Baghdad 10-1. Wells Fargo 11-1. And 12-1 Bar.
Thanks, Noel. I think this race is obviously really, really tough, Robbie. I think Raheem House is the one that I'd probably side with, but wouldn't be a confident selection at all. Do you have something you're really keen on?
A couple of bets, yeah. I'm not as keen on him now, but I've already backed Desert Skyline at 33-1. He has a squeak. He's well treated on last season's form. He kept bumping into Stradivarius, and he's obviously not in that one's league, but his mark's fallen down now. He's running off 108. He's got seven or eight pounds in hand on last season's form. I'd worry he might need a bit further than a mile six, though. But they're going to go a strong gallop, and he'll definitely be staying on well. The other one I quite like is Mekong. Yeah, a couple of starts ago, he was really disappointed at York in the listed trial behind Gold Mount, but that was just not his running at all. He's really going the right way. His last start, I thought he beat Falconate at a stage at Sandown. He's off 110. I'm looking through the lineup and feel like this horse could be the best in the lineup in the fullness of time. And yes, but it's pretty much, as you say, it's pretty much a group two with horses carrying slightly different weights. And I think Mekong's definitely got a chance there of 110.
Okay, so two against the field from you. Niall finishes off with your selection in the Eagle.
Yeah, I quite like Raymond Tusk here. I actually quite fancied him in the Ascot Gold Cup at a big price. He was just left with no chance that they went really slow and he was held up. I thought he ran very well considering he actually probably didn't handle the soft ground too well either. But yeah, I thought he ran really well. Previous to that, he ran a cracker behind Crystal Ocean with the likes of Pivoine and Red Verdon behind him, and he was giving them weight. Before that, he tried to give DXB £5 on his first run of the season at Ascot. He was beating about 3.5 lengths. So again, that looks a good performance. It just all looks a quite high-class day in form, which is what you kind of need coming into this race. It's obviously a compressed handicap, so I'm not really worried about his mark. I did some analysis on race position, like where you want to be and where you want to be drawn here. And ideally, you want to be drawn high and held up, which he's going to be. So he ticks both those boxes. His stable are bombing at the moment. Obviously, he had a very impressive winner yesterday. At 25-1 in places, I thought he looked like very good each-way value, particularly with the 7 places.
Yeah, 7 places. I'm sure lots of people will be getting involved in that. I'm liking today's postcast. Lots of big price selections. Not a lot of love for those at the head of the market, which is what we like to see sometimes. We'll see what the chaps think in the 4.10, which is the Julia Graves Roses Stakes. It's a listed race back to the 5 furlongs. Bit of a muddling affair with all the juveniles in this one, Niall. No betting on it just yet. Did I see that right?
Yeah, we've no betting. Sorry, at the moment. We will later on, though.
Okay, so we've got the likes of Miss Bouquet, Dream Shot, Streamline, He's a Laddie, etc. in here. Who did you end up siding with?
Yeah, I quite like the look of Mighty Spirit here. He's got some course form, which I think could be crucial. It obviously is at York a lot of the time. She's been remarkably consistent this season, having had 6 runs. Like she's barely been out of the 2 or 3. I thought she might have been in need of a break before Goodwood, so I can forgive her getting beaten that day. And I actually think she'll reverse with Mrs. Bouquet, who beat her that day. Like, that race was running a really good time, so I think it's good form. I think the 4th Orla come out and won a listed race at Newbury next time. On Mrs. Bouquet, Mark Johnson has a terrible record with horses at this festival, but also ran at Goodwood or won at Goodwood even. So I'd be taking her on. Richard Fahey, obviously the big 2-year-old winner earlier in the week, and I think you could have another with Mighty Spirit here.
Okay, frustrating time John Dancer's had of things lately, so I'm sure he'll be hoping Mighty Spirit can finally get a head in front for the first time. Robbie, any strong thoughts on these juveniles? Are they a vintage bunch? Or
I'm not sure if they're a vintage bunch. The one I liked was the Irish contender Think Big for Joe Murphy. He's a bit out of his depth from the Phoenix Stakes last time, and I was over 6 furlongs and it was soft ground there. That was nothing like he's encountered before. Down in trip on quicker ground, I thought he was quite interesting, but nothing overly bullish, no.
Yeah, it's a tough race, isn't it, DJ?
I didn't think so. I'm getting a bit worried now. I thought this was really straightforward, and I thought we'd have a really short price favourite. Alligator Alley had an RPR of 104 when second to Liberty Beach in the Malcolm. And to be honest, I thought he'd be close to evens or 6-4, and I thought he'd be very hard to beat.
Okay, he was eye-catching there, wasn't he? And I guess Liberty Beach, she didn't really let the form down in the Lough, though. It was a bit of a funny race, that. She stayed on okay?
Now, I know you're absolutely madly, incredibly in love with Liberty Beach. I thought Liberty Beach probably was the best filly in the race the other day, to be honest with you. Just the front runner didn't come back, and was kind of just because you didn't know whether she stayed or not. I think that the jockey was kind of just, you know, trying to save her a little bit, whereas if he went after the winner a little bit earlier, I think she would have won. Like, Alligator Rally was very unlucky in that Malcolm. I don't think she would have beaten Liberty Beach, but just a couple of gaps didn't open at the right time. Like, the horse that he beat at Navan won Nursery Next Time very impressively at Tipperary. Even the form behind Little Grey looks quite solid at the moment. Like, at the moment, he's looking for a rating in the low 100s, and I think if he runs above 100 here, he should be very, very hard to beat. I'd say he'll win convincingly.
You're very persuasive. You've now gone from me thinking it's quite a tough race to maybe it might not be. The 4:45 is the Sky Bet handicap. We're back to a mile and 2.5 furlongs here, up in distance for three-year-old and upwards, 0-105 handicap. Now, there's a lot of interesting angles in this race. Some Irish interest with the Galway Festival winner Tudor City, DJ.
Yeah, I think he'd probably win too. The trip is a little bit of a worry. I spoke to Tony Martin earlier on this week, and I think he was hoping to get into the first race on Friday, which is a mile and a half. So obviously, Tudor City, given that like he's a proper two-mile hurdler, the trip just might be a little bit of a concern. But I thought he looked like he had turned inside out when he won the Galway Hurdle. Like, what you have to factor in that Galway Hurdle is for him to come from the position he did, given how slowly the race was run, the timings and everything, for him to find that turn of foot and get up to win quite snugly in the end was a hell of a performance. He's gone up to a mark of 146 over hurdles. So he's run off 81 here in the flat. John Egan actually has a terrific record when teaming up with Tony Martin as well. Drawn in stall 3, so he should get plenty of cover. And I think for a horse like Tudor City, who likes to be held up and a gradual increase of the tempo, I think York is made for him. I think he's well handicapped now on the flat, and I think Tony is going to exploit that a couple of times, hopefully starting here.
Yeah, he's had a few really good flat horses run at York. Heartbreak City was one of them, wasn't he, when he won the Ebor a couple of years ago. So maybe Tudor City can give him another win on the Knavesmire. Robbie?
Yeah, I like Tudor City as well. The other horse I quite like was Rise Hall. Obviously, I put up Escobar for the Strensel Stakes, and Rise Hall's form ties in very closely with him. He's firmly going the right way. He's won since that defeat as well. I think he still could be a pattern performer in time, but it is a tough race. But yeah, it'd be Tudor City and Rise Hall would be the two I'd focus on.
That's interesting. They're the two I wrote down just to talk about. I think Rise Hall is rock solid, isn't he? Really improving, as you said. Niall, finally, no betting again, but sure to be an interesting contest this.
Yeah, I was similar to DJ. I thought Tudor City was very interesting here. Now, I was all over him for that mile and a half handicap. I was annoyed he didn't get into that. But this trip just might be sharp enough for him. But like, he's off 81. I think it's something like £65 below his hurdle mark. So he has to be well handicapped. Interestingly, Tony Martin has had 11 runners in handicap at this meeting since 2013. He's had three winners. His run to form percentage is over 80%. So if you've backed all his runners, you're up 11 quid or so. His actual over expected is good as well. So he obviously targets the meeting's handicaps. Now, the one horse that I'd be afraid of is Forest of Dean, who could still be very well treated after Goodwood. He won so easily there. But yeah, I'm going to have a decent each way bet in Tudor City here. I think at the very least, he'll be second.
Okay, nice confidence then behind Tudor City. Plenty of the Irish lads wanting to be on him. The final race we're going to look at from York is the 5:20. It's the Skybet Apprentice Handicap over the 5 furlongs. Some really hard-knocking, consistent handicappers here in the shape of Recon Mission and Pass the Vino, but also some up-and-comers, some younger horses coming through the ranks as well. DJ, who did you end up siding with?
Another outsider, Maddie. Another outsider for you. 20-1 shot, Broken Spear for Tony Coyle. Its last visit to York was last October, and it won quite convincingly from Angel Alexander off a mark of 87. It's been kind of quite lightly raced this season for one reason or another. Hopefully one of the reasons is that it's been named at this meeting, because he obviously likes York. He was a close-up third there the year before, and hasn't ran since Chester in June, where travelled well for a long way, was beaten by Angel Alexander, who actually he had beat in that previous race I mentioned at York. I think off a mark of 93, he's been dropped a pound. I'd imagine this has been the plan, and it's a wide open race. I just didn't think he deserved to be 20-1. I thought he was more of a 10-1 shot. So a tentative vote for Broken Spear.
Okay, Robbie?
A tentative vote for Recon Mission. He might be good enough to defy top weight here. Pretty sure the owners have talked about chucking him in the Abbey at the end of the season, which seems quite ambitious. But I really like the booking of Kieran Fallon. He's nicking £3 at the moment. He definitely handles a track, we know that. He's won on his sole start here before, and he might just have a bit too much toe, but it's a really tough race. But if I was forced to have a bet, it'd be Recon Mission.
Yeah, been running really well all season, hasn't he, Recon Mission? Consistent horse, and over this trip and track as well. Niall, finally, your verdict.
I really like Mosskill here, and I think he's going to be an around favourite. He's got a decent apprentice booked in Angus Villiers, claiming 7. The drop to 5 is what should really suit him. He probably just doesn't get 6 furlongs. I thought he was unlucky to be caught by Pastavino at Newmarket last time. He was really keen early and he just ran out of steam towards the line, I thought. He was second to Wendate here a few starts ago, so he obviously likes the track, and I'd imagine they've been targeting this meeting for a while with him. Yeah, I think he should take a lot of bean.
Okay, we're going to take a break now. We've looked at York and look ahead to Goodwood. But as always, if you're fancying any of the guys' tips, make sure to download the Racing Post app. You get all the bookmakers' exclusive offers there. So just go to the App Store and check that out.
So doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday postcast then. We've had a look at York's card and we're moving on to Goodwood now, which is a very, very good card in its own right. We'll just look at the two races from there. The 205 is the Ladbrokes Celebration Mile Stakes, a Group 2, obviously over the mile. Won twice by Lightning Spear and then the ill-fated Beat the Bank last year. So good horses tend to win this race, and we've got an interesting runner in Skardu reappearing from his sort of three-year-old form, Robbie.
Yeah, I'd have this between Skardu and Duke of Hazard. Skardu's only run 5 times, interestingly, and he's finished third in the 2000 Guineas, fourth in the Irish 2000, and fourth in the St James's Palace. He's got Group 1 form in the book. But Duke of Hazard, I don't know where this improvement has come from. He's run 14 times, but his last 2 starts have been really impressive. He won the Group 3 at Goodwood by half a length, but he would have probably won about 4 lengths if getting a clear run. He was just bumped around, he had to go wide. It wasn't pretty. But I was looking at the prices the other night, and Duke of Hazard was in a favourite, and I thought Skardu should be favourite. So if the prices were like that, I'd definitely still stick with Skardu.
Okay, remind us who's at the top of your market, Niall.
Yes, Skardu's our 9-4 favourite. Duke of Hazard 5-2, Beat Le Bon 4-1, Happy Power 9-2, Turgenev 8-1, and Nioletti is 12-1.
Yeah, I had this between the top 2/top 3, maybe. I thought Beat Le Bon was quite interesting. But Skardu, what did you think of his run in both the Guineas, Niall?
Yeah, they obviously changed tactics from Newmarket to the Curragh. I just think he's a hold-up horse, and that's why he didn't run so well at the Curragh. They obviously went back to holding him up at Ascot, and he ran much better. I'm still not 100% sure. I think he's a tricky ride. The actual one I've come down on here is Beat Le Bon. He obviously won the Golden Mile last time at Goodwood, really impressively. I thought it was interesting. The time of that race was about 0.5 seconds faster than Duke of Hazard's, which you might kind of expect for a handicap, but it would show you that the handicap form isn't too far off the listed group form that Duke of Hazard has. His time was actually the fastest mile run of Glorious Goodwood that week. I know you have to account for ground and stuff like that, but it definitely looked a group class performance to me. He's 2 from 2 at the track, which is obviously crucial at Goodwood. His stable are going very well, as I said earlier. Like I was talking about Skardu earlier, he's been a tricky ride. He's off a break as well, so I'd probably like to pose him. Happy Power, I thought, might need some ease. So yeah, Beat Le Bon, relatively confident selection.
Yeah, and earlier you were talking about Mark Johnson's record at York. Well, of course, Vale of Kent, he ran an absolute screamer, didn't he? Boosting Beat Le Bon's form the other day. DJ, what did you think of this race?
I think Skardu is different class. To me, every piece of his form kind of stacks up. Like, I thought he won his group in the Guineas. He was, I think, the way the comments and running did it, that there was 16 went into that group and he won it on the far side. Then obviously at the Curragh, he just was, Niall said, I just thought they rode him a little bit differently. And like that run in the St. James's Palace Stakes, that's an absolute cracking run. Like, he's a proper, proper, genuine Group 1 horse running a Group 2. Like, there's some 11-4 out there. I couldn't understand that price. I kind of like what William Haggis has done. He went bang, 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 Craven, Guineas, St. James's Palace Stakes. Then took the foot off the gas, gave him a little break, freshened him up, coming back into a Group 2, not going straight back into a Group 1. Like, to me, I couldn't see any of these winning a Group 1. I could definitely see him win the Group 1. be it towards the end of this season or even next season, I could see him being a real Queen Anne contender. I think he's a very, very good horse, like possibly one of our best miler, three-year-old milers this season. I know they're not a great crop, but to me, Scardew is going, if he's the same Scardew that showed up at Ascot, he'll win this.
Okay, confidence then from DJ. It would be really good, wouldn't it, to see a three-year-old emerge and sort of give some strength to that miling division, because it's lacked it in the last couple of years, I think, although we've all enjoyed watching them. Scardew, it'd be good to see if he could step forward or even one of the others. The other race at Goodwood we're going to look at is at 2:40. It's the Ladbrokes Prestige Stakes Group 3 over the 7 furlongs. Now, Billiston Brook actually won this in 2017. She went on to win the Guineas, of course, so it has got a good recent history. And Shade and the Rose Bowl winner, I imagine she'd be towards the top of your market, Niall.
Yeah, she's 9-2. She's our second favourite. Boomer is our 4-1 favourite. Vividly 9-2. Stylistic 5-1. Dark Lady 6-1. Ananya 8-1. Alpinista 10-1. Angel of Delight 10-1. And Romsey is 10-1.
Thank you very much. Now, I introduced this with Shaden because, I mean, she's been a very frustrating horse for me because I've followed her for a while. I didn't back her last time. She has got the form in the book, but the one I'm interested in is Boomer. I mean, so impressive last time. And what do you think, Niall? I think this horse could go off a lot shorter than 4-1.
Yeah, Boomer was the one I liked. So, Maddie, we're going to be going out together tomorrow, probably. it was a very good time when she won at Newbury. For a juvenile, anyway, I think it was a pretty high time figure. She looks to have by far the most potential in this field. Like, I'm not really too keen on any of these. I know DJ's probably going to like Dark Lady, and she could be the danger. She kind of has the form in the book. But yeah, it's definitely Boomer for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she was a lot shorter come post time. DJ, is Niall's sort of suspicions correct with Dark Lady?
Oh, Maddie, I feel like I'm on Tinder cheating on Aoife, so I do. That's how bad it is. Like, me and Dark Lady go way back. Like, we've been on so many dates. Some of them have been good. Some of them have been a little bit disappointing. And at Newmarket last time, she traded so short and running. She travelled all over them. I napped her on this podcast. And she travelled all over them. And then my initial reaction was that she didn't quite get to 7. But she kind of bumped with one of her rivals about a furlong out. And it seemed to knock her off her stride. And I said, I just can't wait for her to go back over 6 next time, because I'm going to keep the faith and hopefully the relationship will stay intact. They've came here, and I can see why they're coming here. And to be honest, I was just praying Boomer wouldn't run in the race, because I was saying Dark Lady will show what she's made of here. But I would say, and this is a big statement, I've probably been most impressed of any maiden winner this year was probably Boomer that night at Newbury, because I thought Deep Snow, who was really well backed for Godolphin, traveled like a really nice horse that night. And the way Boomer finished, I didn't do the timings or anything, but I'd say the last 2 furlongs that Boomer did in that race were exceptional. I thought it was a hell of a performance. She obviously took a giant step forward from her debut at Haydock. To me, she looked like a potential Guineas winner in waiting that night. And the form stacks up, because Stylistic, who finished 3rd that night, came out and ran a cracker, was only beaten the neck in a Kempton maiden next time, and Boomer hammered Stylistic. I think Boomer is exceptional. I would absolutely love if Dark Lady came out and proved me right, but this Boomer, I think we could be seeing something special.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think Boomer is the one to side with here. Do you agree?
Nice case. I didn't, but maybe I do now.
You do now.
The filly Vividly of Charlie Hills was the one I like the look of. She won a really hot maiden at Glorious Goodwood that's been won by some really top fillies over the years. Rhododendron won it a few years ago. Amazing Maria, both Group 1 winners. Showed a really good attitude that day. She looks like she probably needs a bit further than the 7 furlongs already. She made all, and she just repelled all challenges. But she'll go from the front again and make it a real test. And it's going to take a good one to peg her back, I'd say.
Yeah, it'd be definitely really interesting to find out who can sort of put their foot forward of the fillies in the 2-year-old division. Elsewhere on Saturday, we've got Killarney, we've got other action at Goodwood, Newmarket, Chelmsford, Cartmel, Windsor, Redcar and Kilbeggan. Have we got any other fancies, Robbie? I'll go to you first this time.
Yeah, a couple. The 3:50 at Goodwood, the Group 3 March Stakes, really interesting. You've got Manuela de Vega in there, Sir Ron Priestley. Sir Ron Priestley, I wonder if the handicapper might have his measure now. He beat Durston. I was giving him £8. There's a good performance in a handicap at Goodwood last time. He's got a really good attitude. But I just think Manuela de Vega might prove a bit too classy for him. I think in time, given against Emberhall, that was a really tough one. I think Emberhall looked like a Group 1 potential winner after that Lily Langtry win. bit down in class, 1 mile 6. I think she gets the trip. I think she'll go well there. The 650 at Windsor as well, 1 mile 2 furlong, Winter Hill Stakes. Another really good race. Probably the best race I can remember at Windsor. We've got Desert Encounter in there, Matterhorn, Star of Bengal, and Accidental Agent. Desert Encounter's got a £3 penalty that might hinder his chances. Matterhorn, he's run 16 times since his debut in October. I just think he needs a break. One I liked was Accidental Agent. I think he's been crying out for a step up in trip. He won the Queen Anne last year, but he finishes his mile races like he needs a bit further. His first try at 1 mile 2 furlongs. He was really unlucky at Salisbury last time. He should have won that. And I'd definitely be betting him.
Yeah, I thought he did win that. It was odd race, wasn't it?
I was riding the chair and celebrating. But
you were.
I got my face off that.
Standard riding the chair out. Accidental Agent then up in trip. Robbie likes him. And DJ, I mean, we've got some really good action coming up in the next couple of days. There seems to be Group 3s and listed races scattered everywhere. Have you got something else for us?
Yeah, today, which is Friday, and tomorrow, like them 2 days racing, it's just everywhere you look, like all the top tracks, like Goodwood is racing, Newmarket, York, even tonight at the Curragh, and then you've got Killarney tomorrow. Like it's just a lot of good racing condensed into a couple of days. A couple that I like three in a row at Newmarket. So the 2:45, I think Morrowind can win again off American 91. I just don't think the handicapper's got to the bottom of him yet. I thought he did well and quickened up nicely to win last time at Sandown. So Morrowind in the 2:45. In the 3:20, I think Sarug will take that for Simon Crisford and William Buick. Just a stayer that has just taken time to get the hang of things, but I liked his attitude last time when he won Sarug. And in the 3:55, this Land of Legends, the Lister race, I think this Land of Legends is a real rapid improver. Like his profile, he's rated 104 now, which brings him up to a race like this. And I still don't think we've got to the bottom of him yet. So I think Land of Legends in the 3:55. So hopefully that'll be a nice tricksy three in a row. And just a feature race at Killarney is the 2:30. It's the Vincent O'Brien Ruby Stakes. And I thought One Down the Bottom had a big chance here. Lady Wannabe for Fozzie Stack and Chris Hayes. This was one of the fillies that Frankie Dettori rode when he came over to Killarney. He was nabbed right on the line by Valladira. I think the fact that Lady Wannabe likes Killarney, Fozzie Stack has penciled in this race, and she's rated 101, which brings her right into the mix. The way she's drawn it in stall 13, but they've been coming very wide in Killarney when the ground gets soft, so the draw actually might be more of a help than a hindrance. So I thought Lady Wannabe, and she'd be a bit of a price in the 2:30 at Killarney.
Okay, thanks, DJ. And finally, Niall, what else have you been looking at?
I have three. In the 5:05 Newmarket, Foxy Forever, it's just a horse on my tracker, I should say. On the face, it was disappointing at Bath last time. Though, having looked at the sections for that race, it was actually a pretty exceptional run. So it was held up to an extreme of 5 or 6 lengths last. It went really slow, made up a lot of ground, ran one of the fastest sections seen at Bath in about a couple of months or so. The second and the fourth have run well since, so I think it's strong form. And this looks a really weak race. In the 3:55, I was going to put up Land of Legends as well, dropping the 6 furlongs. I know DJ just mentioned it. Was really impressed with Goodwood last time. Pretty Pollyanna will probably head the market, but I think that will kind of give us a price on Land of Legends. I think he could take a bit of beating. The 3:15, Sinad. He's a horse that's been following for a while, so he ran a really fast time at Kempton a few starts ago. He kind of went off the boil. I think he ran on soft ground a few times, which he doesn't handle. He had a cracking run at Newmarket in the Bunbury Cup last time. It's going to be good ground. So yes, this is the 3:15 Goodwood. I think you'd want a big race. And that's it.
Okay, best of luck with those, Niall. It's time to get those all-important Saturday naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Robbie, Tipping Postcast debut. I'm going to give you first go.
Thank you very much. 3 o'clock at York, Lebrevido for me.
Okay, pressure's on. Certainly is. DJ.
Oh, Dark Lady, if you're listening, close your ears. It is Boomer in the 2:40 at Goodwood. 4-1 is a massive price.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be agreeing with you on that one. And now, finally.
2:25 York, Hamish.
Lovely stuff, guys. As always, remember to subscribe to the Racing Post Members Club. You get access to all our data, unlimited free replays, and also the digital version of the paper from 9 p.m. So we'll take a quick break now before we have a look at Sunday's action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Friday postcast, and we're going back to Goodwood now. On Sunday, it's the 4:10, the Wetherby's Racing Bank Supreme Stakes, a Group 3 over the 7 furlongs. Now, Anna Nerium, who won the race, is back again. We've got the likes of Limato, what an old favourite he is, as well as Soudoir and Momkin. Soudoir have been really consistent in these big 7 furlong races, as is often the case. Now, no betting for this one, Niall, but do you have a handle on who you might be going for?
Yeah, I quite like one. I'd say it'll be a price when the race is priced up. Mo Juiced ran a cracker at Goodwood last time, in behind Bills and Brook. Just had absolutely no chance from the draw, but ran on really strong towards the line. I think 7 furlongs is ideal, and I really don't think this is the strongest race. Lamato has a penalty, and I think he could be, I'm not going to say gone, but I think he might be past his best. So yeah, Mo Juiced for me.
Okay, I heard DJ there exclaiming in anger, but he was muted down on the old volumes. What was that, DJ? You're not happy?
I can't believe that. I genuinely thought it was going to come to me here, and I was like, I'm going to fancy a mad one that's going to be like 20-1, and nobody else is going to fancy it. And I even practically stopped listening there because I didn't think anybody else would tip it. But it was Mo Juiced. Mo Juiced ran the most remarkable race last time. Like, to be held up the way she was in the way the race was run, like, she was fully 20 lengths behind, I thought, turning into the home straight. She was beaten 3. She was valued for finishing even closer. And just the way she's been campaigned this season, I think she's been aimed at an autumn campaign. And to me, I thought that was a cracking run. I'm not saying she's a certainty here or anything like that, but she's run against Lamato and, you know, the likes of Angel's Hideaway, who are rated higher than her. But that run at Goodwood last time can be upgraded by so much. If she is, 16s, 20s, I could see her going off a single figure price, and I think she's a rock solid each way player.
Okay, I love that anger there from you. Just a very, very unhappy at Niall. Robbie? I mean,
he's awfully hard to win with, but I think Soudoir has a chance here. I'm going to give him another go.
He's a lovely horse, isn't he?
He is. He's very consistent, but he doesn't win. He ran his best race of the season though in the Lennox Stakes last time over course and distance. He always goes well around Goodwood. If the cards fall right, he's going to be bang there, and I imagine he'll be an each-way price. He'll be bigger than 5-1, won't he? So I don't think you can go too far wrong in backing him each way.
Okay, Soudoir for you, and then Mo Juiced for the other two. And you've got another selection on Sunday.
Yeah, just the one, the 5:40 at Yarmouth, the 7 furlong handicap, a horse called Atletico. He's just too well-treated to ignore. 18 months ago, he was with Roger Veyron, he was rated in the 100s, and now he's running off 67. It's obviously not gone to plan in the interim. He has shaped it a couple of times, though, that his turn is near. A couple of starts ago at Beverley, he was really unlucky. I watched the race. He's been raised £2 for that half length second. He just could never get out, and it was all too late. 7 furlongs, that was over 7.5. I think 7 is perfect for him. This is perfect trip. I just can't ignore him with that back form, and he's going to win one of these type of races sooner or later, and maybe Sunday will be the time.
Yeah, it looks a handy mark for sure. Have to have another look at that one now. Thanks for joining us today. That's all we have time for. We've looked through York and Goodwood and also had a few selections on Sunday as well. As always, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe, and I'll be back on Monday to review the action.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.